Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Fired up. You heard it. Thanks for being in Reno, ESPN Reno. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Dial 775 in the north. Offices in Reno and Henderson. We're in Henderson. Las Vegas, downtown Las Vegas. We're in Henderson. We are at the Lees Family Forum. Adam Hill, as mentioned, is at the Treasure Island. Are you going to make it over here, Adam?
I don't think so.
Are you going to make it up for the silent auction? Check out the link and see if there's anything you want to bid on.
There is every year. That's why I try not to go, because I want to buy so many things.
I have had years where I spent a little too much money, but it's for a good cause.
Yeah, there's no such thing as too much money. Spend away.
Oh, is that right?
Spend away.
You know, that's funny. We were the SO and I were looking at vacations while we have some time over the next, say, like 7 weeks. And it got to a point where I was like, you know, maybe that is too much money. Like, how many vacations can you take? There is a budget. So
there's credit cards for a reason, Steve.
I know. I'm not a big debt person.
Well, that's fair.
Maybe I'll be mistaken if I keel over at 56 and should have taken more vacations. But happy topic to start at the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Yes. So we have the induction ceremony coming up tonight. We're going to try to run down a couple of the Hall of Famers in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll see what we come up with. Earlier in the show, if you missed Barry Odom, he was on for about 15 minutes, the UNLV football coach. We'll have that podcasted after the show. Want to give you a heads up. Don't have an official schedule yet, but we think we're going to have in one of the UNLV football assistants, a different one every week for the next about 7 weeks. So we're getting into football. We have another update on UNLV basketball coming up with more info on Keelan Boone. So look forward to that. But let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Uh-oh. Adam and I are very hardcore, not very lenient on fan behavior and going, they're just being a fan. When you interfere with the game, or when you're obnoxious, or in Adam's case, when you're a Buffalo Bills fan and you're racist, you're not the racist fan, but you've seen Bills fans act like animals,
Yeah. You
get very worked up. And you found a crazy soccer story where the justice system got involved.
Yeah, in Spain, several fans were hurling racial epithets and just angrily just berating Vinny Jr., who's one of the best players in the world and will be here at Allegiant Stadium for Copa America, by the way, which will be awesome.
Vinny!
Don't do what they did. They were being awful and horrible, and they were identified and pointed out, and they were arrested and tried, and they are going to jail.
Wow.
And I say, bravo.
Should we do this in the U.S. now that we have so many people catching stuff on video, especially if it's on video and there's conclusive evidence? Should we do it? But then also, who decides what is racist and not racist?
That's the issue. I mean, my immediate reaction is yes, absolutely, we should do it. 100%, no question, yes. If you're caught, if we have the evidence that you did it and we find you, yes, please go to jail. But who's to decide exactly what you can and can't say? Who's to decide how it was said? All of these different things. And also, you know, where are we kind of, how are we phrasing the law? How are we putting it into place? All of those things. Like, yes, on the surface, I want this done. Like, you kind of referenced it there. Like, we've addressed it on the air. The reason I am no longer a fan of the Buffalo Bills, one, I'm working in NFL and I can't really cheer for a team. But two, I attended games and heard awful, horrific racial things yelled by those fans. And I don't want them to be happy ever. I don't want them ever to be able to celebrate a victory ever again, especially in a big game. Actually, you know what I do? I like them getting to the playoffs and then failing miserably every year. This has been great because they're miserable. But would I have liked to see those fans who yelled those things that I had to hear about my favorite player? Would I have liked to see them go to jail? 100% yes.
Damn.
Yes, I would. No question.
Number three. But like you said, the interpretation of a law and then who's the judge is an issue. And I'll give you a good example of something I just saw the other day. Did you see the clip of the Reds game and kid comes on the field, does a backflip, and then gets tased.
I did.
Did you see the picture that we put in the rundown?
Of course.
That makes me feel so much better about this because someone got, some newspaper got a really good picture. When those, whatever they are, needles go into the kid's body and he's starting to feel the volts of the taser, look at his face.
Oh, yeah. He feels it. It's like, it reminds me of the scene in Hangover.
Yes. Yes. So it turns out his name is William Hendon. Channel 2 in Cincinnati caught his exchange in court with a judge. It turns out, I haven't looked up who his father is, but it turns out that the judge knew his father. The judge kind of joked around with him a little bit. And I got to tell you, from the puss on the kid's face, I didn't think he was real remorseful.
No.
Because he knew he wasn't going to get anything. And also, by the way, I'll set this one up for you. Ready? Get your bat in hand. He's a sophomore at Ohio State.
I'm aware. Death penalty.
Okay. What a... I mean, come on now. Ohio State, get him out! Yeah. Get him out!
No, I mean, on the real...
Out of control!
The real answer, obviously, that's not what I would want. But, I think severe punishment for anybody that made the mistake of going to Ohio State. But why is this judge not recusing himself? What are we doing?
Yeah, that was a little weird where he was kind of joking. Like, I know your dad.
Yeah, then don't hear the case.
Yeah. That's a good point because he was probably too nice to him because he knows his dad.
Of course. There's a real problem with this, by the way, at the highest levels right now. Yes, do not hear cases when you have a conflict of interest and when it's very public.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yes, I do.
No, no.
So I'm going to tie it to a story that we had a couple weeks ago about uneven justice. Remember we talked about the story with Xavier Pope about a dude in Alabama who had we're not going to say an altercation, an unpleasant exchange of words with a police officer. The judge in Alabama was requiring him to say sorry for that or he was going to have to serve jail time. And the guy came out and said in interviews, he's like, I'm not saying sorry. I'm willing to serve the jail time. I can't find an update on it. He was supposed to apologize by June 4th. But guess what? That judge did not know the accused or his father and was not going to do any favors for him. So that's the problem when we go back to the original story. Who's the judge? How do you apply the rules? All right, number two.
Number two.
By the way, I'd say sorry for almost anything to get out of jail.
I don't know. Guy was standing on business, I guess. You know, yesterday I had a wavering moment, and I'm not sure why. I have pretty good confidence with the spoken word. It's not always smooth. I want to play this for you as we were talking about Luka, and as I say in the clip, I tried to go a little higher level vocab. Well, I'll use a big word. I don't know if it's correct. You should get excoriated over, right?
Excruciated? No. Scoriate? I don't know
when,
what scoriate.
When you're in the backcourt, so that was Swede. Dustin Swedelson was sitting in. And I normally would fight over a word like that. I did not.
It is excoriated, right?
Yes, it is, yeah. Okay. I was talking about Luka playing so poorly, and it was a bad look. He should be excoriated for that.
But did you say excruciated?
He said excruciated.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know what excoriated was.
Well, that adds up. He's a very smart guy.
He is, but
Some words are not used very often, though, too.
Well, that was the point of using the word.
Sure.
Right. But sometimes you got to know your co-host and you got to dumb it down. So, like you had to a little earlier when I supposedly didn't know about the refusing story. Number one.
Number one.
Is it actually? Oh, I have to look over there. I'm getting my picture taken, Adam.
Oh, nice.
It's a very easy listening band. I might start singing with it. Those pictures probably look terrible. All right, Adam. It's happening. It's happening. After all the tomfoolery and all the jumps in the news cycle, J.J. Redick will be interviewing with the Lakers. What goes into an interview with the Lakers? And I get the feeling that he's already been interviewed by the most important person in the organization.
Yeah, is LeBron going to be there?
He's been there. He did the pre-interview like 8 straight weeks.
I mean, I picture LeBron almost serving as like the attorney where he goes with him and every time the Lakers ask JJ a question, he's I got this and he'll answer for him.
Yes. Like, let's go to the tape, or let's go to the audio.
What makes you qualify for this job? I mean, LeBron said he wanted me to have it, so I mean, that's... But I do think he's a very good basketball mind. And if that's who LeBron wants, I mean, I think it's going to happen. But I don't know what the interview entails outside of LeBron wants me to have this job, so give me the job.
If J.J. Redick gets the job, you saw the JVG, not SVG, the hedgehog. You saw that Jeff Van Gundy is being catered by the, or courted by the Clippers.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's done yet. Should the Lakers try to step in and get, you know, get a former head coach or several to work as an assistant? Because that would be Jeff Van Gundy's job with the Clippers. He'd be an assistant to Ty Lue. Yeah.
I think they should go with like a veteran guy who's been there before and seen a lot and kind of help out with those things. I will say I'm very thrown off about the J.J. Redick conversation by the fact that I am watching Clipped. And J.J. Redick obviously was on that team.
I was going to ask you that. Would
and I'm just picturing
based
I'm
on
picturing
Donald Sterling's behavior, would he hire?
No,
that J.J. No, he wouldn't.
No, I don't think so.
Is the depiction not good
of J.J.?
Like, is it not flattering
of J.J. Redick?
Yes.
I mean, he kind of looks like him. I think he's probably the one that looks the most like him of the characters.
I just meant his behavior, his approach.
No, no. I'm thrown off on this one because J.J. Redick like went very, he was very supportive of boycotting the game after the tape came out, and he's like, we need to take a stand and fight for, you know, our people, or like whatever he said.
Oh my God.
And one of the guys just stops.
That can't be right.
One of the guys just stops and goes, if you can't say the word, you don't have a vote. I was like, okay, well,
that is a great
point. And then J.J. Redick just like slunk down in his chair. He's like, okay.
Do you really believe he did that?
Yes, I do.
I mean, I might, if I were someone in the organization who, you know, was anti-Redick, I might present that as a piece of evidence, like, he ain't ready.
Like,
he might never be ready.
He went to bat for his guys.
He went to bat for who? His teammates or
yes,
Sterling?
For his teammates.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was siding with Sterling.
No. He was like the most vocal. Well, him and DeAndre Jordan, I think, were. Here's the other problem with Clip. Sorry, now we're spiraling this, but there's certain guys that are so poorly, like, cast that I'm like, I don't know who that's supposed to be. I think it's DeAndre Jordan that's the one that's the most outspoken, and then yeah. J.J. Redick second.
Are you as mad as Stephen A.? Some people are alleging that Stephen A. has a real axe to grind because he hates that podcast, because he's been just going off about LeBron and kind of the fix here, that he thinks this is one of the more outrageous moments of behavior from a player in NBA history.
I'm more annoyed at Stephen A. Doing the walk-in today to show off his outfit like he's a player.
Did he did it again?
Yeah, ESPN posted, like, you know, fit check for Stephen A., and he, like, did the whole... Like, he's not playing!
Yeah, he did it at a game last week, and I was like, this is absurd.
It's absolutely infuriating. He should be excoriated or excruciated.
It is excruciating watching him do that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, guys don't get fit checks. I'm not sure that women should have fit checks, but we'll accept it. It's acceptable. Otherwise, as you said, everyone's going to get excoriated. All right, we're getting ready for the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight. There's a lot of action going on around town, including Aviators baseball, where a certain celeb is going to be throwing out the first pitch. Matt Neverett fills us in.
I love it.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
And in Henderson at the Lees Family Forum, Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight. Folks like T.J. Watson, former NBA player, Vegas guy going in. Kenny Bayless, so many big fights he officiated. That's why Adam should be here, because Adam is sometimes he's pro officials, oftentimes not so much. But I think you're actually, more often than not, you're pro combat official, because people get so crazy and out of control on that front. We'll get to that in a little bit. We got big baseball goings on with the Aviators at home. Lots of cool festivities. We bring in the voice of the Aviators, the voice of UNLV football, Matt Neverett. Matt, how you doing? Adam Hill, Cofield, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening? Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, busy day, busy week, really. Fun games for the Aviators. Walked off against the Salt Lake Bees last night on a little chopper to left field, taking the first two of the first three games of the series. And we turn to the weekend, and a lot of promotions and fun stuff going on at the ballpark tonight.
All right, let's talk about the promotions. So let's mention what's happening, because every weekend is a crazy weekend for the Aviators.
Yeah, so every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the promotions are going to be pretty similar, if not the same. Tuesday, we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Initiative with our Copa de la Diversión Hispanic Heritage uniforms. They will turn into the Reyes de Plata, the Silver Kings. Wednesday is always Bark on the Berm, presented by Subaru of Las Vegas. And Thursday is always Thirsty Thursdays, presented by Coors Light. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where they get a little bit interesting. So tonight, we've got fireworks postgame. Always a really good draw for those, and it's different than any other game because you know everybody's going to stay till the end. It could be a 14-2 drubbing tonight, but we'll still have 8,000 plus hanging out once the game is done. And then tomorrow, one of my favorites, guys, first 2,000 fans through the gates that open at 5:30 get a free baseball glove. So if you're looking to gear up for the upcoming season, you're looking to go to a major league game, even coming out to the Aviators games the rest of the summer, you get the baseball glove presented by Hyundai. And then for Father's Day Sunday, we're doing fathers and son catch on the game or on the field pregame, I should say, and kids run the bases after the game, as is always the case on Sunday day games. It's our last Sunday day game until the very last game of the year in September. So if you like day baseball, definitely come on out on Sunday.
Adam,
yeah, yes. Should we go run the bases, father son?
Let's do it.
Can I have a catch on the field?
Wait, who? Wait, are you saying
it happen to you guys?
Is it Adam and I you're addressing? Or are we the father and son? Well,
yeah. Okay. We'll have a catch on the field.
I know this. I think I could hit your glove, and I'm pretty confident you could hit mine. Boy, I made another one of those bets, or at least a proclamation yesterday, where I guess I didn't do the research on this one. Last night, Greg Salerno threw out the first pitch. Tonight, Q Myers from Raider Nation Radio 920 will throw out the first pitch. There'll be some video out of Salerno last night. You know, I talked to him about his baseball abilities a couple days ago, Matt, and I had a lot of confidence in him. That's not good.
Well, I mean,
that laughter right there is not a good sign of what happened. Oh, my God.
Hey, I mean, I like the southpaw approach overall. You know, he'll get a little bit of a longer leash on the mound being left-handed. I don't know. Did he try to throw a slider? I sent you the video earlier today. I looked at it a little bit, but looked like he tried to spin it a little bit, maybe fire a cutter down and away from a left-hander. But, yeah, no, he's good, and always love having our radio partners and Lotus personalities and everybody involved out.
Matt is so gracious. Adam, did you get wind of what happened or a video or anything? Because Matt said it was good. I think you meant to say it was good having him there. It wasn't good.
No.
Adam, did you see this?
No, I don't even have to. I know Salerno. I know it didn't.
He played baseball!
For who?
He played high school baseball.
I don't believe that. And where?
Oh, my God.
And where?
I know,
because certain
that
parts
matter.
Of the country, anybody can play.
Yeah.
Also, I would assume that without even watching, he got super cocky and actually tried to throw from the mound.
He did.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so
what
no chance.
What a royal ass he is.
No chance. It's not easy to just step up on the mound when you haven't done it in a long time or ever if you weren't a pitcher. But it is not easy to do it from the mound. It's not.
Here's the thing. He told me he did it in the past there, and he botched it because he tried to throw it too hard, and then he did the same thing. And I told him, dude, I have a bet on you versus Q and who does better. And he goes out and does that.
What kind of bet is that? What are the parameters?
I don't know. It was just a – you know what it was? I got enveloped in the cradle of chubbiness, and I just wanted to support a fellow big fella. And I kept saying yesterday, I'm like, Q's like in his 40s. He looks like he's 30. He doesn't age. He looks athletic. I'm like, for once, can the big fella take out the guy who doesn't, you know, look like a big fella?
So did Salerno not post a video? Is it that bad?
Yeah, he hasn't posted anything. He hasn't commented on it. I mean, Matt, you saw it. I mean, we know why.
Yeah, no, I went and I had to go pull it from our replay rack this morning to send it over to you. So we'll see. I have high expectations for Q, but and then again, I have high expectations for all you guys. So maybe that's not necessarily warranted after last night.
Ooh, see what happens? Now the shots come at us. I mean, Matt, you played enough baseball into college that, I mean, would you have any difficulty at least throwing something like three-quarter speed and, you know, being somewhere in the range of the catcher? Because the catcher in this case had Greg bounced it to the catcher's left. And he's like freaking falling over himself to get the G-damn ball, you could do it, right, Matt?
Yeah, I do have confidence in myself. I will say, I have never thrown a first pitch, not yet at least. My plan is, if that day ever does arrive, look out, in front of the mound, like you said, about three-quarter speed, lob it in there, going for accuracy rather than speed, because that's where you get burned, especially in not having thrown for a while. And yeah, to your point, Steve, throwing it off the mound if you haven't done it for a while can be really disorienting, especially for someone like Greg, who looked like a little out to in as far as the arm path. And that's kind of the result is it bounced, as you had mentioned, in the right-hand batter's box. So yeah, definitely in front of the mound. And I always tell people when they ask or if I'm around them into the first pitch, you can miss high. It makes you look cool. Just don't bounce it.
Exactly. Adam, you could do it?
I will tell you this. I would probably, if you sent me down to the bullpen, I would throw a bunch of strikes, and then I would step on the mound and not throw a strike.
Probably choke, a choker.
100%.
Or, you'd complain, you catch your foot, the rosin bag was, over rosin.
I'm sure the catcher wouldn't set a good target.
Yeah, it would someone else to blame.
100%.
Aviators are here. They got a series going on right now. Last night, Greg Salerno threw out the first pitch. Tonight, you got post-game fireworks, and before the game, Q Myers from Raider Nation Radio is going to be throwing out the first pitch. And then tomorrow is baseball glove night. First 2,000 fans in, get a baseball glove. And then kids run the bases. Father's Day, catch on the field. And, Adam and I might go out there as a father and a son, which is a little bit weird.
You guys could pass.
I got to get to – these are really hardcore Major League Baseball notes. One, again, this is hardcore, and I don't know how much you got the same in the minors, but what do you think of the Dodgers, who have 50 infielders, but they're all kind of underperforming at the plate, going, let's go get Biggio from the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting move, and sometimes for a guy like that, just a different organization, a different approach from the top down could do you some good. The one point that I saw made about Biggio is everything that referenced him said he was a super utility man. And I saw someone on social media say, well, when someone says super utility, it means that they're just not good at anything. So we'll see what it turns out with Kevin Biggio. Again, a different organization may do a guy like that some good. And hey, for the Dodgers, nothing ventured, nothing gained. If he turns out to be as bad as everyone thinks he is, they cut him, and they still got one of the deepest minor league systems in all of baseball, including all the moves that they've made as of late. So for them, really no risk whatsoever. He's on a pretty cheap deal. Worst case, they can just get rid of him. Best case, they get another bench bat that can play multiple positions for sure.
Matt Everts with us. Let's wrap on this, Matt. Matt is one of the voices of the Aviators. He's the football voice of UNLV football. Give me your reaction now to the latest UNLV football schedule change with Syracuse in town. That'll now be a Friday night. So now we've got two Friday home games, three Friday road games. Very meandering season is on the way from a schedule standpoint.
Yeah, and I'll be really interested to see kind of what those scheduling weeks look like as we get into the season. And, after that first Friday game, we'll kind of get an idea of what the plan is going into it, what the plan is coming out of it. I was going back and forth on social media with some Rebel football fans the other day about how it would be a different consideration entirely if the coaching staff was not as synergized as it is top to bottom. I mean, the messaging has been the same since Barry Odom has come in, really, from every position group. So I think that with the way that the coaching staff is, the Friday games are not going to be as big of a challenge as some might think. Obviously, there's some logistical quirks in a very unique setting overall, but I think that this is the team with the coaching staff that is going to be ready to go, one day, 2 days notice in a crazy, otherworldly situation. Five Friday games is a lot, but it's great for the exposure. You're going to get prime time, late night slots where just about everybody in the country who is a football fan is going to be watching you. So as far as exposure, this is the best year that the UNLV team has ever had. 11 of the 12 games nationally televised, including 5 of them standalone games on Friday night. So if they're able to get over the hump on some of these scheduling quirks, I think it's going to be really, really good for the program moving forward overall.
Matt, good job, man. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy watching, I'm sure, Q Myers buzz it in at 76 miles an hour right to the freaking mitt, and I lose another bet. Okay.
I'm ready. I'll definitely grab the video for you guys. I'm actually about to go hop on a show here in about 10 minutes, so I'll tell them that the expectations are high for you guys.
Yes. Tell them that I bet against them. I'm sure he'll be real happy.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll let him know.
There he is. Matt Neverett. Thanks, Matt. What a disaster. I don't know why I did that. Everyone talks such a big game in radio. I you mentioned it. Oh, he played high school baseball. That's what he told me. And you're like, where? I don't believe him. Yep.
I mean, also, just, I would have assumed overconfidence also.
Yes. Yeah. But he already did it, and he botched that one. Make this one work.
Although I'm guessing Hugh's fairly overconfident as well.
Oh, I think he probably is.
But he also, does he know it's a competition against Salerno?
He's going to find out. I probably shouldn't have told him. You know what? That's I'm going to text Matt. Don't mention it to him because now he will take it easy and at least hit the mitt.
Oh, that's, he knows all he has to do is groove it in there. Like there's a low bar.
I should have known. Salerno's the guy that we have chastised for a year. He's like 6'1", 300-plus pounds, saying that he could beat a WNBA player, and I just laughed at him when he said that. And now he can't even throw a strike. Lob the pitch.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Rolling into the second half of Cofield and Company. Adam Hill is at TI. Cofield here. Ann Henderson at the Lees Family Forum. Adam's story came down yesterday. I didn't talk to you about it. I saw it in the notes that you sent over, and we're absolutely sharing a brain on this one. You know, I referenced earlier trying to take some vacations during the summer, and it finally hit me. I was like, okay, I don't have time for this, and the budget might get stretched a little too thin, and I'm referencing a potential trip to Mexico. I found a good deal, Adam, because you and I have discussed off the air how pricey some vacations, especially flights, are now.
Right.
I found a great deal. It was like August 20th to the 26th, which is, you know, it's pretty close to the, you know, beginning of the football season. And then I bailed on it. And then I saw this story last night, and I'm like, my God, that's not a good way to die. And I don't mean that I was going to die on this trip, but then it hit me. Tell people the story you saw, and now you're freaked out.
Yeah, a couple was down at a resort in Mexico, actually in Rocky Point, so nowhere that I have gone or would go. But down in Rocky Point, they're at a resort hanging out in the hot tub right outside, and a wire of some sort malfunctioned, sent electricity through the jacuzzi, and they were badly electrocuted. The guy died. The woman sounds like she survived, but she's very, very damaged, and they don't know what kind of, you know, function she's going to have the rest of her life. I had no idea this was possible. I never thought there was, like, electricity involved somehow. I guess you have to heat it, so it makes sense. But I've never thought about it. I've never thought that's a possible way that you could die. I love hot tubs. I've actually been considering getting one. I'm out.
You're out.
I don't think I'll ever go in it again.
This is not funny.
It's not horrifying.
It's not at all. Like, when I saw it, because you and I kind of, I think we both do the same thing where we cope with comedy and just try to make it not real. But I think for both of us, we're like, I don't think I'm ever going in a hot tub again. And I'm certainly not going on vacation.
No.
Into a hot tub at a resort. And it'll never happen again.
It's happened. No, believe me, I looked. I started doing a deep dive as soon as I saw this. It's not the first time it's happened.
Oh, my God.
This happens. By the way, the other one, how about this? The two bodies are floating there, one alive, one not.
That's right. People came up on it, and they're like, wait, what the hell's going on here? They're not responsive.
They got in and tried to help, and then they got shocked. And they were like, whoa, what is this? Like, I can't go in here. It was the electrocution, electricity was still, like, zapping through it. Like, there is no chance I'm doing this. I will never go in again. And I also am thinking, like, it can happen in a regular pool too, right? Because there's heater. So there has to be electricity.
Yep. I've called a concrete company to just fill in my pool.
Do it.
Or I'm just going to make it into a little skate park that no one gets to use except
nothing is
me
safe.
And some cats. Nothing is safe.
Wow. You said never go in at a resort.
Yeah.
It's any hot tub.
That's it.
Doesn't have to be a resort.
Scary, man.
What are we doing? This is horrifying. This is
so
like
devastating.
The last safe place in the world.
It's so devastating.
This sucks.
I want to get to Father's Day plans in the 5 o'clock hour.
Not hot tubs.
No, don't get him a hot tub or offer to go in a hot tub. Don't chill in a hot tub. I want to mention that UNLV does have a very cool ticket pack that they're offering, and that is their mini pack for Father's Day for football. Father's Day, you get a free tie. You get a free tie if you buy a Father's Day tie, UNLV tie, UNLV branded tie. If you buy one of the mini three-game packs, UNLVtickets.com, UNLVtickets.com. You got to do it by Sunday, June 16th. Obviously, Father's Day is coming up, so you want to get it as a surprise before that. But, yeah, you buy a mini plan, you get the free Father's Day tie, and there's certainly more than a few games to buy that mini pack for at UNLVtickets.com.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, risk supervisor at the Treasure Island Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, joins Cofield and Company.
It is Cofield and Company down here at the Golden Circle at the TI, as we are each and every Friday. And one of the reasons we love being down here is we get to speak to Patrick Berbert every week. How you doing, sir?
How's it going? I'm doing great.
Good. We will get into some of what's going on in the sports world and obviously what is going on with your book here. But me and Steve were just having a discussion. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Did you know it was possible to die in a hot tub?
That is news to me.
There's a couple. Only the guy died. The woman looks like she's going to live but maybe not have function going forward. A wire just got loose and sent electricity through the hot tub, and that's it.
That's brutal.
I never want to go in again.
I wouldn't want to experience that.
The hot tubs here at TI, very safe, by the way. Nothing like that has ever happened. Apparently, Mexico, very different. Not good. I'm shook. I'm I can't even get over this. I love a nice hot tub. It's a great experience. Sit in there, chill, have a drink. Never again.
Especially on a cool summer night.
Oh, I will never go in again. That's it. No more. I'm done. So, I guess I'm going to stick to betting on sports and watching games. And this is a great place to do it down here at the TI. Just saying to you before we came on, things are starting to slow down a little bit. Nothing ever slows down, though. There's always something going on. And right now, I'm very excited about soccer. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But we are still in the NBA and the NHL Finals. 3-0 in both series. Could be two sweeps. That's got to be not great for business in terms of not having more games and more opportunities for people.
It's awful. Like you said, both series are 3-0 right now. If both teams were to complete the sweep, this would be the first time since 1995 that this has happened in the same season for both the NHL and the NBA. But yeah, it's bad for the book in the sense that you don't get the full handle that you would in a 6-7 game series. So both these series only going 4 games. It really hurts business a lot not being able to get that handle in here.
I'll ask the overall question first. Either team that's down 3-0 have a chance to rally here.
I'm gonna not just based on history, but based on these two teams, I think Florida was one of the best teams coming into the playoffs here for the NHL. So I don't think the Oilers can do it. They're so top heavy. Once you get into that second and third line, things start to really they run into some problems there.
Sure.
And then as far as the NBA, I think the Celtics are just the most complete team here. I don't think there's enough help around Luka right now.
So game fours in particular, start the NBA because that is tonight coming up. Basically right around pick, right? Kind of bouncing back and forth. Do you know where you guys are sitting right now?
Right now we are at Celtics -1 last time I walked up here.
Okay. Yep. So we don't think Dallas can make a run. I would agree with you. I don't think so either. But can they fight through tonight? Can they get at least one to salvage this, to send it back to Boston? Do they even want to? I mean, what's the point of going back to Boston at this point? You're just going to lose there.
I mean, Luka plays with a lot of pride out there. You see it on the court. I mean, he whines after every single play. But yeah, he does have a lot of pride. I think he's going to want to go out there and win in front of his home crowd tonight and avoid a 4-0 sweep. So if they're going to do it, tonight is the night for them to get the win.
The one thing that would concern me is that they actually did show pride end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, last game. Down, 21 points. They cut it down to 1. They have a chance. They seem to put everything they had into that. I'd be a little bit concerned if I was on the Dallas side that was their series. That's it.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure after they went on that 20-2 run that Jason Kidd called a timeout. And I think that really swung momentum right there, like when he did that. Like your team was down 21 points. You're storing back there, and you have all the momentum. You got to keep rolling with what you got right now.
And then Luka fouled out, which obviously didn't help there either.
Not at all.
Finally, some signs of life from Kyrie, though. We'll see if that can continue. How do you guys do in the futures market with a Celtics championship, which seems inevitable at this point?
This is a best scenario outcome for us.
Okay.
There was two teams heading into the playoffs that were somewhat of a liability for us, and they were both in the Western Conference, so the T-Wolves and the Mavericks. But we're sitting really good right now with the Celtics here up 3-0.
So Patrick Berber joins us here from the TI Golden Circles, where you can watch all the sporting events, get your action down here at the TI as well. We're here each and every Friday. Come down and join the show. In the other series, we also talked about that one, 3-0 for Florida. Edmonton, one more game at home. Can they send this series back to Florida? And I guess outside of McDavid just going in, you know, God mode, what could they possibly do to kind of rally here?
I think for the NHL that series ends tomorrow night in Edmonton. I think Florida is going to 4-0 sweep them there. They're just a complete all around team. You know, they made the cup last year where they lost to the Golden Knights, but Florida was really banged up last year. They were finally healthy for this playoff run here, and they've shown that they've been the best team in the playoffs.
So one more game there in Edmonton. We'll see if they can extend that series. Doesn't seem like it. Asked you about the futures market for the Celtics. How do you guys do for Florida?
Florida, we're in a great position as well. I mean, we've been in a great position with Edmonton versus Florida headed in. We were sitting really good, so we didn't really need to try to sell off any liability on the series price and whatnot. We were really good for this series, so we were just trying to enjoy a good NHL series for this.
There you go. So that one could very well end this weekend as well. We could have no more series going on by the time we talk to you next week, but even by Monday, these series could both be over. So a lot could be wrapped up with this season, and that means the end of NBA and NHL. The focus just turns right back to football at this point, right?
That's correct. We're gonna start prepping. I mean, we've already been prepping all along, but now it really gets into full grind mode gear, like analyzing every single little thing that happens going forward for college football, NFL.
So I guess what does that entail, really? I mean, we always hear that, you know, being said, but what do you actually have to do? Do you, you know, when these series end, do you kind of take like a couple days off? You're like, all right, let's refocus and then jump right back into it. What exactly do you have to do to get ready?
Just kind of like looking over all the rosters and depth charts of seeing what starters are returning, where the key free agents went, which teams lost key players and who they brought in, and then kind of start looking at like matchups, who's in their division and how do we think they're going to fare in their two division games, and then who are their opponents for the rest of the year, and just analyzing everything from a power ratings perspective of who we think is going to come out on top at the end of the year. So that way we're in a better position of where we're not over-adjusting during the regular season, and we can be in a good spot and feel comfortable week in and week out with our ratings, where we are with each team.
For sure. And we did see a little bit of a development this week in terms of the college football playoff schedule being released. Not that we didn't know these games were coming, but it's cool to have them on paper, be able to look at them and say, here's when the game times are. Do you think it's set up well for you guys in terms of, you know, when people are going to be able to make their bets and how the flow of everything is going to go?
Yeah, I saw something in the aspect of NFL games plus college football games, like with consecutive days played. And I think it's going to just be great. There's going to be so much going on between NFL playoffs, college football playoff, in that sense, where it's going to be nonstop action where people are going to want to come in and bet on football all the time. So it's really, I think this year it's going to be one of the best revenue drivers that we've had. By far.
We talk about, you know, kind of turning the attention to football, but baseball is still in full swing. College World Series going on right now as well. Do you see an uptick in baseball action when the NBA and the NHL end?
Absolutely. Baseball is kind of like just like on the side burner while the rest of the NBA NHL finals are going on. But then once that ends, then you start to see people, you know, everybody feels the itch to bet. They want to bet. They want to watch something and have money on it while the game is going on, and then that's where they turn to baseball now. So now you're going to start to see an uptick in baseball betting.
Not that you guys aren't giving your full attention all the time, but when people are going to start focusing on baseball, you expect the handle to potentially go up. Does that put more pressure on you guys behind the counter to be even sharper, knowing that you are going to take more action on these games? I mean, I know every game you're going to try to be as sharp as you possibly can, but you know, now you're like, okay, these people are going to come in and try to bet these games.
100%, but at this point in the season, you're approaching the halfway point, so you have enough data and analytics behind you to be able to come to a certain number on a game and feel comfortable with it that I can put this number out there, and if they bet it, they bet it.
I was talking to somebody the other day about baseball betting in general, and we'll get your thoughts on this, that, you know, even when, you know, a couple of years ago, it wasn't even that long ago, but certainly when I first started betting baseball, all you would really do, I mean, you would understand the lineups and all of that, but you would just take that, and I remember getting the sheets in the book when you would go in, and it'd be, you know, the starting pitcher for each team, their last five starts, their season, and you would basically just handicap starting pitchers, and that is really close to irrelevant at this point. Like, the way bullpens are used, the way teams go to the starters for much shorter, that doesn't matter quite as much. So how much different is it now in terms of trying to set numbers, knowing that you're really setting it on the usage of the bullpen the last couple of days and that sort of thing, even more than you are who the starting pitcher is?
It is a little more difficult to set the line now, just because you do see the disparity between the full game and the first 5 innings. Sometimes you'll see a line, it's off by like 30, 40 cents on the first five. There's a lot more goes into it now. You got, like you said, you got a starting pitcher, you got lineups that are released like a couple hours before the game, and then you have the bullpen, who's on short rest, who's available tonight, and then you can even go as far as putting the umpires into it.
Yeah.
Which umpire is going to call more strikes, which umpire is going to have a tighter zone, and that kind of goes into who's pitching for that game. Is it going to affect them, or is it going to benefit them?
I love it. I saw just when you're watching games now, and you're watching, you know, you have the tickets, you can kind of tune into all games around the country, and so many of the broadcasts now start the broadcast with starting pitcher matchup, and then how is this home plate umpire? Does he have a wide strike zone, a narrow strike zone? Does he have a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts? Like, all these broadcasts are taking that into account now, which obviously is betting. I mean, that's the reason that they're doing it, but I do enjoy the fact that broadcasts now, and I'm sure you do as well, that they're incorporating a lot more data and information and things that actually people care about and need to know to make their bets.
100%. I mean, I love to see it. I work with numbers all day long. It's my job. But I love learning new things and just being able to look at old numbers and dive deep into things and question myself a little bit and become more knowledgeable with it.
Well, we're talking attention turning to baseball and football down the road. I feel like you may not be as excited as I am, but really what this time of year is, especially every couple of years, it's time for soccer tournaments and major soccer tournaments. I was very excited, even though the game wasn't going to be competitive, and I knew that. But Germany and Scotland today kicks off Euro, Copa America, which this year includes some of the CONCACAF teams like the U.S. and Mexico, will kick off next week. These are games that go on during the day and really have all-day soccer because Copa will be at night, Euro will be during the day. How good is that for the book when you have not only major soccer games that appeal to people, but also games that are just going on all day long?
I think it's the perfect time of the year for this to happen, especially just because, like we talked about with NBA and NHL ending, us going kind of into our slow season, soccer is going to keep us afloat now. So that's going to be pretty much our money grabber between baseball and soccer, which will be really good for us. So it's going to be pretty interesting going forward to see how it turns out for us.
U.S. looked really good against Brazil the other day. It was a draw, but it was certainly much better than they were against Colombia. A little bit more optimism now, I think, coming out of that match than there was after the Colombia match. So we'll see how that turns out. Also, a couple of teams are going to be in Vegas, and if the U.S. wins their group, which I think Uruguay might, but if the U.S. wins their group, they'll be here in Vegas for the quarterfinals. Do you think you'll see some uptick in action when the games are here at Allegiant Stadium?
That would be phenomenal, especially if you get some teams in here like Colombia and
Brazil will be here.
Yeah, those type of teams, you'll always get that. That's a huge crowd that comes into here.
There you go, Patrick Berbert. Great stuff. Come on down here to the TI Golden Circle. Check out the games. It's great to be able to sit in a restaurant setting and a cool spot that has a book here as well. All the games on TV, all across the book here at Golden Circle. Great specials as well. So come on down here. Steve Cofield out at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. He'll join us again, wrap up final hour here at Cofield & Company on a Friday.